is Kate Saffin for Fringe Review, and I'm sitting in Pleasance Courtyard, surrounded by all the bustle of Edinburgh in the middle of August, with Rosie Fleischman, who has just come down from her solo show, Narcissist in the Mirror, which is on at the Courtyard every day till the end. And it's your first solo play, isn't it?
Yep.
Your first play.
My very first play.
So I'm going to start by asking a little bit about how you came to be writing it, and then we'll go into a bit about the making of it.
Sure. So, I mean, I fell into spoken word sort of accidentally, because the whole show is written in like a verse style, and we flick in and out of prose, but the majority is got like a rhythm behind it, and there's a nice flow behind all the text. And I never set out to write a one-woman show. That was never the intention. About 18 months ago, I wrote my first poem, because it was, you know, partly therapeutic and partly just because I was an actress wanting to express myself, and no one was giving me work. So I started writing these 3-minute poems and, you know, performing them at open mic nights and things. And I suppose that was my way of going, no one's going to employ me, I'm going to harness some kind of work for myself. And then after sort of the cathartic stuff of writing about my personal stuff, I wanted to write something else, something that I cared about. I started to notice that I was incredibly dissatisfied with where I was, and I'd gone traveling and I'd met a lot of other people my own age who were incredibly dissatisfied with how things had turned out, and it felt like a bit of a an issue for people my own age, that they'd sort of how they'd expected life to sort of pan out, and then that realization and this disappointment that we were all feeling, and we're all quite lost. And I wanted to write something about that, about what it feels like to be lost and to be trying to work on yourself and trying to make yourself a better person. It's hard, I think. And then that's kind of where the sort of idea for the play came. And then obviously it evolved, and, you know, I sort of mentioned quite a lot of different subjects within the play. But
can I just ask you at this point about your character in the play?
Yeah.
Obviously reflecting a lot of your experience. How different are you to the character you play? Or are you playing you, which is perfectly okay?
No, I'm not Narc. As wonderful as she is, we're fairly different. I mean, the idea within the play, without giving too much away, is, you know, I don't really think you know who Narc is anyway. And
she doesn't know who she is,
yeah.
Does she?
She doesn't know who she is, and so the audience can't know either. But no, I'm certainly a few years on. I think I've come to terms with a lot of things, and she's based on me, of course she is. It's my first piece, so I've drawn bits from myself, but also from all the people I met. You know, like I travelled for about 7 months on my own, just meeting people and writing in my diary all about these different people I was meeting, and there was just a lot of lost souls out there looking to find themselves, and I think I've used a lot of those people, you know, in the piece, really. But yeah, we've got a few similarities. I mean, it's hard to not notice we do have some similarities.
Well, while we're on the subject of character and you, one of the things I loved about it was your moving in and out of the spoken word and the poetry. To what extent, when you go to the poetry, are you becoming Rosie again, or is your character that poet?
I mean, the majority, I'd written a couple of the poems before I wrote the play as performance pieces. But again, in the same way you'd write a monologue, you know, I was picking issues that I had a relationship with, I had feelings towards. I certainly think with spoken word and just poetry, you need to be writing things that you care about or are just really, really funny and daft, do you know what I mean? But you can't, I certainly haven't got there yet where I'm not able to write about things if I don't have some sort of feeling towards them.
To be honest, I think that's true all the way through. I think I don't think you can ever really write about something and be convincing without some passion for it.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear then. I'm on the right track. Like, that's where I was. So I was right. The few pieces that I wrote before the play was put together, they were me penning them, and the character hadn't been formed yet, but they were me penning them for a performance. Do you know what I mean? And then there's parts of me throughout that play. But whether I could say this bit is Rosie and this bit is Narc, I don't know if it's that black and white, really.
Yeah, I think I was interested, wondering whether in some way kind of Rosie comes in almost as a commentator on Narc with the poems. But they're broader than that. Let's just stick with the whole making of it, because solo shows tend to evolve and sort of progress. You worked with your mother as the director. So tell me a bit about that process and working with somebody who you're very close to, and how that helped to develop it and what the challenges were.
So, like, when we put it on originally, this was last April, April 2017. We put it on in Manchester for two nights, and I was living at home at the time. So we went into a two-week rehearsal process. She was bugging me for the script, because she was like, come on, you're going to write a solo show now. You've got all these pieces. You just need to, you can do it. She was trying to give me a kick. So I was like, okay, I can do it. And I hadn't showed her the script, and it was getting closer and closer to rehearsal. She was like, I'm going to need some kind of script if we're going to go into rehearsals. And then about 3 days of rehearsal, she got the script. And then we walked into the rehearsal room, and it was, you know, it was really good. And it was a lot easier than we expected for at first. And then sort of as it progressed, we realized that living together and being related and rehearsing together is incredibly intense. So, you know, there would be times where it would just, there was no on and off point. You know, you wouldn't finish rehearsal and then go, right, we're just mom and daughter now. It would be, you'd be actress and director at home over dinner and chatting about the show, and then mother and daughter would creep into the rehearsal room. And I mean, yeah, it was crazy intense. But, you know, I always say, she was brutally honest with me, and nobody wanted better for me than her. And I know that no one wanted it to go. So I took a lot of the direction, and there was the odd thing that because I'd written it, she'd never directed anyone who had written their own show before and was in it. So obviously she hadn't been used to somebody going, oh, I don't feel like that. They would just usually go, well, of course. But I was quite protective over certain things. So we had to sort of negotiate each other a little bit, but we managed to do it with success, I think.
I think you did, yeah. I agree you had success. Tell me a bit about how it's, because we're now the 19th, how have things sort of developed and shifted, if they have, and the kind of feedback that you've had while you've been here in Edinburgh?
We've been really lucky with the audiences. We sold out our first show, and we've sold out since. But what I've noticed is at the beginning we were dragging people in, desperate to come, you know, to fill the seats. And now finally we've had 14 sellout shows now, and the word of mouth is spreading. So we're getting people in who aren't just like, what on earth have you dragged me in for? They've picked it, they've read the synopsis, and they've chosen to come. So that's really nice, and then you can feel that support from the off rather than sort of, go on then, impress me. So the audiences have been getting warmer and warmer as time goes on. And there was a lovely gentleman and his wife today in the front row, which were in last week, so they've come back, which is really nice. And when you see, you know, because obviously I've done it in Manchester before, and that's the only place I've ever done it. And I'm, you know, people knowing me there, people know that, who I am, and they want to come and support. But here, no, I don't have any friends here. No one knows who I am here. So, you know, it's a real test to the play of how it goes down.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, in a way, the wonderful challenges of it is you do have to work hard. You might have some family that come along and support, but you've got to get out there and sell it against the other 3,500. Well, that takes us quite neatly on towards the final question, which is a little bit about, I know you've got some plans for touring, but what you're hoping for next.
Well, we want to take the show on. I've got an amazing producer, Alex Slater, and we've basically set up this theatre company together. So this is like the debut show of Nothing to Declare Productions. And we've got this really lovely relationship with the Pleasance Courtyard now. So what I'm hoping is, in an ideal world, we're going to tour Narcissist, and it's going to be a lovely
healthy tour with some nice venues. Obviously, we want to take it to London. We're just trying to get the right venue. We know sort of whereabouts where we want to be. So it's about getting them to sort of take a chance on us, really. And obviously, we've just been optioned for Lion Pictures as well. So they've taken an interest in the play, and they want to look at developing the play into a series, which is really exciting for a baby company like us. So it's exciting news.
Well, it sounds like a good start. Sounds like you're going to have a great future with it. So thank you very much, Rosie. So if you are listening to this in Edinburgh 2018, Narcissist in the Mirror continues at 3:15, Pleasance Courtyard, every day until the end of the Fringe.
Every day except the 19th, that's our day off.
Which is tomorrow?
This Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday. Not the 19th. I'm losing track. But thank you very much, Rosie.
Thank you very much.